right. Welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. In the house, I think I have a collective of several decades of experience on our city county council. Well, between a few decades and, you know, a couple of years all mixed up together. The majority leader of the city county council, Vernon Brown, is in the house. Veteran of several budget cycles across different mayors, the retiring Councilor Monroe Gray, and Pam Hickman, City County Councilor at large, businesswoman, has done budgets in her life in the real world. Guys, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
So, Councilman Vernon Brown, the mayor of the city has gone on Fox 59 Morning News. He's always on Channel 8 Morning News. I can assume they snuck him in during the Olympics on Channel 13, probably Channel 6. He went down to the guy with the cowboy boots on the circle in the studio with Made of Gold down on the circle and told his tale of woe about how you Democrats had money, wasted money, gave salary increases when you had no money, while he was able to jack up the salaries far above the cost of living for his own staff because he had extra money. Councilor Vern Brown, you know, why did you Democrats do all that? Because our mayor would not tell a falsehood.
Amos, I'm not saying the mayor told a falsehood, but my mama used to say, if you don't tell the truth, you're telling an L.I.E. So I won't, that's all I can say. According to the Office of Finance and Management.
Wait, controls them.
That's the mayor's fiscal staff.
Okay.
The council budget, as of year to date, we only have expended 48% of our budget.
You've only spent 48% of the budget.
That's in character one.
Mm-hmm. That's salaries.
That's salaries. In character two and three, we're even less. In character two, we're 17%. And in character three, which is contracts and other things, we're 42% of our budget year to date. So we're under budget right now at 6 months or 7 months into the year. Mm-hmm. As far as us hiring new staff, we did hire a full-time CFO at $80,000 a year. The past council had a part-time CFO that has a home in Florida, an excellent man, Jim Steele, that worked about 6 months a year. And in 2008, he made $87,000.
For 6 months a year.
Yeah, in 2009, he made $39,000. In 2010, he made $115,000.
For 6 months.
And in 2011, he made $86,000.
We in the wrong business, Chris.
And he was part-time. He was more on a consulting basis with the council. Mm-hmm. Hope Tribble, our full-time staff, works 50 to 60 hours a week, Amos. You know, she came from the State House, and she worked for Bill Crawford in the State House. She works 50 to 60 hours a week. Excellent young lady. Very knowledgeable. And she works at night. You can get a text from Hope at 12 o'clock at night on a fiscal matter. As you know,
if a Republican counselor like Christine Scales or Jenny Kane some of the others were to call Hope Tribble and say, I have a fiscal question. Does she only work for y'all or she work for all 29 of you?
She works for the entire council. And you got to remember, when Republicans were in control, Jim still works part-time because they had the advantage of going to the Office of Finance and Management for their questions and their issues that we didn't have in minority. So right now, Hope works for the entire 29 counselors. She works for President Lewis, and she works nonstop, like I said, 50 hours, 60 hours a week. And that was a great find for us and a great economic benefit to the city. We also hired an attorney that has regular office hours. Yeah. His contract is not to exceed $75,000, and he may go a few hours over because of the budget issues and some other legal issues that we have. But the attorney last year made $100,000. Mm. So we're going to be under budget compared to what they spent last year for attorney fees also.
In terms of all of this, Councilor Monroe Gray, part of your district, within your district, you have a TIF district.
Yes.
You have one of those TIFs. That's the TIF over on Dr. King Street and what have you. In the council elected to have a special study committee to study how to handle TIFs, and I think they made several recommendations, including let's slow down, TIFs ought to expire after you do what you're supposed to do, expire the TIF, some other rules, and They want a moratorium on adding any other new TIFs till we create these new procedures. First of all, have you looked over the recommendations of the council of that special committee? Councilor Steve Talley was the chair. And would that help the TIF in your district? Because all of a sudden these people that are talking Mass Avenue are saying Democrats hate TIFs.
Well, I think this is all being fueled by the mayor. I don't think the – look at all the development that we have had in the past on Massachusetts Avenue without any TIF. Mm-hmm. But back to the original question, yes, I think that the recommendations that the committee made will only make the TIF procedure better. I think that some of the things that have been done with the TIF probably exceeded what the TIFs were designed to do. And what we need to do is get the control of the TIFs so that the council can have some input as to how this money is being spent.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You've been on the council long enough when TIFs really came to the fore, because I think it was more Steve Goldsmith was really bringing the TIFs in more than Bill Hudnut. And the original idea, and correct me if I'm wrong, Counselor, because you've been closer to this than I have, is this was designed to temporarily divert property tax revenue from a development, and that would go in to help fund the development or provide tax abatement for the development. And that's really, I think, what TIFs originally were, was a tax abatement. So the property taxes that were supposed to go to the city and the schools and the township wouldn't go. There would be no taxes. And eventually, as that project got built and they started to rent the building and development, and then the developer started making some money, then they would plow the property tax back in, and eventually the TIF would disappear, and that development would be 100% property tax paying thing.
Yes, the TIFs at one time had an expiration date. Mm-hmm. They were only to be for a certain length of time.
Right.
And what you're saying is totally correct. I guess one of the main issues for the TIF was so that we could complete the Circle City.
The mall.
The mall.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you remember, we ran out of money and we had all those holes sitting down there. When Goldsmith came in, one of his first objectives was to make sure that we completed the Circle City Mall. And that's when we came up with these great ideas for the TIFs so that we could complete that mall and complete some other projects in the downtown area.
And when the mall was built, we had all the holes in the ground. Interest rates were high. Banks didn't want to lend money unless you were putting a whole lot of money up. And Steve Goldsmith, who wasn't thrilled about the mall, and there was another TIF for that United Airlines deal. He wasn't thrilled about that deal either. But I think he signed on it and wanted some protections for taxpayers, as I remember it.
Yeah, Steve was that's probably some of his best tenure of his term as mayor. He was pretty protective of the taxpayers' tax dollars, especially with the TIFs. But these things has really been they should have expired by now, because mm-hmm. the mall is completed. All these projects that were originally designed to be done with the TIFs is done.
And as I understand it, there's now excess money in these TIFs?
Yes. You have what they call overachieving TIFs, TIFs that have raised way more money than they had anticipated, that's just sitting there. And then they have some TIFs who are not performing quite as well.
It sounds like, wait a minute, now if we got at the state level, we got extra money in the till, so that's why the governor is going to give everybody a check for $100, $200, $300. If we've got extra money in the TIFs, why isn't that money coming back to our police officers, our firefighters, our DMD, our schools, our trustee, Indigo, the library?
Well, because that is the challenge for the commission that we just established.
Okay.
To reconfirm that these dollars should be going back to Indigo, should be going back to the schools, and should be going back to the library. So they have not been the recipient of their just due. So this is part of some of the research and some of the planning and thinking of this committee was to make sure that these dollars was properly allocated.
Pam Hickman, I understand that you know, people who support this TIF on Mass Avenue, which I still don't understand exactly what Mass Avenue wants to do. They've just now created a group, you know, Grow Mass Avenue or something like that, and we invited them to come on the show on Monday because I have no idea what this development is other than getting rid of the fire station, the fire headquarters, and moving it to Cleveland somewhere. And that we're working on that. But and I'm sure you've heard from all these people that want the Democrats to support the Mass Avenue TIF and what have you. You know, how much pressure are you all getting?
Well, we're getting a lot. And I've gotten a lot, especially the past week, mm-hmm. now that the mayor is making a big deal out of it. It's like us holding up the TIF. We've asked for some numbers, and we can't even get them. So it's very hard to make a decision on a budget or what you're going to do with your money when you can't get the answers to how much is it going to cost to move the fire station, how much is it going to cost to rebuild the credit union, are they going to go into a rented building, or are they going to want their own building, how much is this building that they're going to build going to cost. I mean, I would never invest in something I didn't know what the bottom dollar was, and we can't get that from out of the mayor's office.
So nobody really – so we're hearing about the mayor saying there's all these jobs and save Mass Avenue, and we don't even know what the development is other than the fire station has to get moved.
Correct.
Amos. Yeah. You got to understand here now. The mayor created this mass. First of all, he gave all that money to the North, South, or whatever that project
the
is.
The North or South. Be nice. That's our landlord, but that's neither here nor there. But North or South. Okay. The City North, Way or whatever it's called this week. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then gave them all that money with no money coming back to the city or nothing. He just gave away the $6 million for his buddy to build him a garage up there. Once the garage is built, it's totally...
Oh, that's the garage at 62nd and Broad Ripple that they've yet to break ground for, that garage. Okay.
Yeah. So now, why is he concerned that if we are a little bit skeptical about this money he want to give away now?
Mm-hmm.
So that is another reason why we are somewhat leery about this development and about how are you going to give this TIF money away.
239-1310, 239-1310, it's Afternoons with Amos. What we'll talk about this, the budget. If you're one of these supporters of Mass Avenue and you really know what this development is, please call me, 239-1310, 239-1310, because I'd like to know. In fact, I talked to one of the people with the Mass Avenue group this morning. And they were telling me it was retail jobs. That was the first I heard that there were perhaps retail jobs involved in all of this. And when I told her how the people that run Employ Indy can't stand retail jobs, they were shocked. They were also shocked that the mayor's office refuses to send anybody to talk to the black community about the Mass Avenue. So I think what they're being told by some folks is different than what's going on out in the real world. 239-1310 to the phones in Larry. Hi there.
How you doing, Pam, Vern, and Monroe? Hey, you know, this Mass Avenue thing, I know a little bit about it. What they want to do is burden that area with more booze joints. It seems like every development you got going is either for some booze joint or freak show to go in. All those tiffs downtown are based on that. And I've seen over the years, when they get a tiff, all they do is, when the tiff's over, come back in, have a committee meeting, and threaten the counselors. If you don't, let us retain this tiff, we're just going to move out. Well, we need to call their bluff this time, and we need to let them get on out of here if they're not going to pay for that. But the Mass Avenue deal, I would have nothing to do with that as Democrat councilman. I wouldn't even let it make a committee hearing, because all they want to do to that area, they want to cordon it off and have a bunch of booze drinking, and whatever else they have, freak shows going on down there, and this city don't need more of that. I mean, it's no return on that kind of activity, because the people that are patronize it turn into drunks and whatever else they turn into. So if they come in there to have a committee meeting, we need to abuse them and then throw them on out of there.
Let me ask Pam Hickman and Monroe Gray, in the conversation that I had with the very nice people with Grow Mass Avenue, that's the name of this new organization, they were telling me that the reason they need the TIF is that is the relocation of the fire station. They said, you know, the other commercial development could get financing without the benefit of the TIF, but the TIF is needed to move the fire station from Mass Ave, the corner of Mass Ave and New Jersey, somewhere. But if that's the case, why can't we just appropriate $5, $10, $12 million in money and just move the doggone fire station? Do you need a TIF to move to tear down a fire station and build a new one somewhere?
We didn't have a TIF to build any of the others, and we built several in the last few years. And Amos, if I sell you a piece of property and I make some money off of it, then why can't I just take that money and build me a fire station? I don't need to take the money from the sale of the fire station and a TIF too. That's double dipping.
Oh, so wait a minute. I thought the TIF covered. I thought we were just giving somebody the land where the fire station. We're selling the land?
I would hope so.
Yeah, because land down there, that's worth something.
And Amos, this is not a new project. I've been on the fire station. I was in the administration part, Vern Brown and I. People came to us. Tell them about the deal that they said, Vern.
Yeah, Amos, years ago, this is more than about 5 to 6 years ago, we got offers for people to buy the fire station, relocate the fire department, and build apartments there.
On their own.
On their own dime. Ball State architectural class did a study and renditions of different kind of apartment buildings and condos with the fire station underneath, or they wanted to move the fire station to the English Foundation building,
right,
parking lot across the street. So we've had these offers for years for the property. The problem with those developers, the credit union at that time didn't want to sell. So if the credit union had sold 6 years ago, we wouldn't even be talking about this project. It would be over with by now. But now the city wants to do a TIF there, so the rich development group that came to talk to you, all business owners, all people who make money, most of them, some of them don't even live in the county, they want city money to finance a private project. And I don't think the council is willing to do that anymore with city money, because it takes away from schools, it takes away from libraries, it takes away from poor relief, and it goes on for a long time. All the other development on Mass Avenue existed, condos, $500,000 condos, new restaurants, new theaters, without TIF money. And this is a marketable area. This is prime real estate in the city, and we think that it can stand on its own.
239-1310. Back to the phones, and Roy, hi there.
Hey, I want to ask a question.
Yeah.
I want to ask a question. Hey, you had a shuttle on your station come on Wednesday nights at 7. I think it's the
Concerned Clergy.
Yeah. I forgot the guy's name. He's a lawyer on there, but he had Greg on there, and he was coaching him very well. Do that lawyer work for the government, for the mayor?
No, not that I know of.
Okay, because he was coaching Greg very well, and Greg said that they have been putting money in the community, and minorities has got a lot of that money. They explained very well, that's what he said, that, you know, what Democrats talk about, what they're talking about, they don't know what they're talking about.
Well, Greg,
who's telling the truth.
Oh, Greg Wilson?
Yeah, Greg Wilson. He there, and he said, you know, that the Democrats, as we say, they don't know what they're talking about, or they lying. He said the mayor is doing a wonderful job. He said because mayor came in, that the last mayor didn't do what he done.
Well, let me tell you this.
I take it off the phone.
I submitted a letter of public information, request for public information, to Greg Wilson, asking him to submit to me the name of all the Afro-American companies that's doing business with the city. I asked for him to give me the name of the company, the location of the company, and how the city is aiding and making them a better company. And I have yet to receive that information. He sent me something where a bunch of people did a sign-in sheets at some kind of a job fair or something. If Greg really believes in all that, tell Greg to send me that information.
Well, coming up at 2 o'clock in just 30 minutes, we will reveal what the Ballard administration responded to us when we asked how much of that $500 million that's been spent in the last 4 years with minority businesses, how much of that went to African-American businesses. At 2 o'clock, you're going to be – I know you're going to be here too, because you want to hear this. Councilor Gray really wants to hear this. He can't wait. 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon. So they was back to the phones. And George, hi there.
Yes, how you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
Look here, Amos. Yeah. who's to say who's right if the mayor be wrong, who's gonna make the mayor do what he's supposed to do, and who's going what? In other words, who's gonna do what? I'm mixed up. I don't know what they're talking about. You know, I know what they're talking about, but I still don't know who's if the mayor right. What the city council gonna do? And what the mayor gonna do?
Well, let me
back down or what?
That's a good question. Let me break the first part down for you. The mayor said on Fox 59, on Channel 8, on the radio station on down on the circle, and probably also on Channel 13 and Fox 50 and Channel 6, that the city county council is over budget. They have spent more money in their budget for 2012 than they were supposed to. Okay, that's what the mayor has said. As of June 30th, halfway through the year, the city county council has only spent 47% of the money budgeted at 50% of the year. You follow me?
With you there.
So that means if you overspent your budget at halfway in the year, that would be like if they'd spent 60% of their budget, maybe they're over budget. Maybe. But you still have time the rest of the year to get under budget. So any way that you look at the budget, for the mayor of this city to say the city council overspent their budget is false, lie, untrue, Pinocchio. And obviously, the mayor's overpaid staff gave him bad information because the mayor don't know what's in these budgets. I don't even think he knows what's in his own budget.
Huh. Yeah, but who's going to, if he's wrong, he's not going to back down to nobody because he haven't done it yet and he ain't going to do it now.
Well, and I think that's where we're getting ready to have what I'm calling budget apocalypse or budget palooza. We're getting ready to have a big, because his role is to introduce a budget. Okay? That's his job. Yeah. It is the city council's job to approve it, vote it up or vote it down or amend it. The mayor then can veto the budget if he doesn't like what the council passed. And then guess what happens if that happens, if there's an impasse? You know what happens?
No, I don't.
Under state law, then the city would have to operate in 2013 with 2012's budget, which may not be a bad thing after all. So first of all, there will be a budget. This is not like the federal government where we have a shutdown. That will not happen. If the mayor and the council cannot agree on a budget for next year, then they will use this year's numbers. So there will be a budget.
Okay.
So if you hear on the television and the radio the mayor say that the council is holding up a budget, there won't be a budget, that is also a Pinocchio, a falsehood, an L-I-E, lie. What's scripture say? Bearing false witness, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Yeah, I understand, but still ain't made out who if the wrong person is wrong, they're not going to back down on it. So we're right back where we started.
Well, we're back where we started, but I think as more people suddenly discover that the mayor is not telling the truth, and if the news media in this town, if the newspaper would start doing their job, if the television stations would start doing their job and just look at the figures, the data, they need to start doing their job, and that's calling people to account.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're very good at calling the Democrats to account when they do something supposedly wrong. It's time for the media to call this mayor out.
Got to do a fact check on what he's talking
you do
about.
You know, you notice how the media does a fact check on Romney if Romney runs off the rails or if the president runs off the rails, right?
Yeah.
They need to do the same thing with this mayor.
Well, they ain't going to do it.
Then you need to call up these newspapers and say, we ain't going to take your paper no more. Or we're not going to watch your TV channel no more. We'll go watch TNT.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's afternoon. Name is back to the phones and anonymous. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well. And you?
I'm okay. What's up?
there was a gentleman that one of the gentlemen just mentioned that he had made a request for the mayor office of all the people, the businesses, minority businesses that the city is doing business with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are registered and have been registered as a minority vendor with the city. And recently, about a year ago this month, one of the there was a large contract awarded through the city to a towing company. And in order for that towing company to get the contract, they had to list so many minorities, so many veterans, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were listed on that contract as a minority business that that towing company was going to utilize if they got this contract. They were awarded the contract. They never did business with us, and the city wouldn't do anything about it. So in this, in, when they made the bid, they said they were going to, for instance, use $100,000 worth of our service, named us in the contract. It never happened. They are utilizing that company. And the city, we have reported it to the city. We went to the company. They haven't used us to date, and the city hasn't done anything. So these prime companies are able to utilize minorities to get the contract, but when they're doing the work, they're not utilizing their services so that the minority business can make money.
That could be a violation of state law.
That is some type of violation, but of course, we're a small business. We don't have money to go hire an attorney to do it.
Well, hold on. Let me ask a question. Did you ever bring this to the attention of your city, county council person?
No. Well, I spoke to the guy that's right up under the Greg Wilson. He was going to do something about it. They called us, got our number. Nobody has ever did anything. They said they were going to look into it.
And this was this contract was entered this year or last year?
It was entered August of 2011.
Okay, well, that was last year when the Republicans were in charge of the council. Guess who's in charge of the council now?
So what do I do?
I tell you what.
What should I do?
All right. What I want you to do, I'm going to put you on hold, and I would like you to give Chris, the gentleman you talked to when you called me.
Yes.
I want you to give Chris, and we're going to keep this off the air. I want you to give Chris your name, the name of your business, and a number where you can be reached during the day. And I have the majority leader of the city county council here in the house. I have Monroe Gray, who's been on the council a while. I have Pam Hickman, who they both represent districts. Pam Hickman represents everyone in Marion County on the city county council. This is the kind of information they need so that, let me give an example. When Greg Wilson has to go before the council with his budget to get his budget approved, This can be brought up. This could also be you also need to talk to the prosecutor Curry, because I understand the part about your lawyer. That's civil action. Criminal, you don't need the lawyer. That's what the prosecutor is for.
Well, I mean, and then this company, we didn't seek out. There's a vendor list that comes from the city that had our name on it. So this company got our name and information from the city, and they named us in their bid.
You know the other person you need to talk to? The United States Attorney, Joe Hogsett. There may be a federal crime here. I am as serious as I can be.
Well, you can't even imagine how we felt being a small company barely surviving, and this could have made the difference in, our status as a business.
You know, I would hate to think that they took your little $100,000 and you're certified as an African American owned business or as a female owned business.
African American and female.
See, I would hate to think that they've taken that little $100,000 sham, alleged sham. I got to say alleged because you got to be out of that contract and included it in these figures. I'm gonna give it 2 o'clock. I would hate to think that.
Well, I know that company was the primary, I think it's towing company.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, I know that they made, I bet you, tons of money towing cars around the city, and they never utilized us, not one time.
All right, well, hold on and give Chris that information. Will you do that for me? And we just take that off the air, okay?
Thank you.
All right, 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. Greg Wilson is probably fainted by now. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more. And I know, and see, that's what a Hope Triple does on your staff.
And she does a great job with real numbers.
With real numbers. It's After News with Amos, after these. All right, welcome back. I got a great text message at 85620, keyword Amos, and said, could you explain what a TIF district is? Let me do it very simply. TIF stands for Tax Increment Financing District. And what that basically means is, let me kind of, let's say for the sake of the argument, use a neighborhood. Let's use Broad Ripple as an example. Everybody knows where Broad Ripple is. If there was a tax increment financing district in Broad Ripple, it would mean that all of the property tax money in that area would be diverted to pay for a particular project. So in other words, all of the commercial property, business property, and residential property taxes that would go to city government, including police, fire, garbage collection, fixing your streets, sidewalks, and what have you, sheriff, jail, township trustee. If this were an area out in one of the townships like Pike and Decatur and Wayne, it would divert money away from those fire departments. It diverts it from city fire department. It would divert money from IMPD. It would divert money from Indigo, the library. Who else gets property tax? I know I'm leaving out township trustee, poor relief. And all of that money would go to fund this development or project. And then once the way it's supposed to work is once the project is done or the project is making and generating revenue on its own and would be able to pay property tax, then the TIF is phased out. And then the property tax money start from that area, from Broad Ripple, would start flowing back to the city and all those government agencies. That, in a nutshell, is what a TIF district is, Tax Increment Financing District. It's done here. It's done in a lot of other places across the country. This is not just an Indianapolis thing. And the biggest TIF district is downtown, and a lot of it is funding the mall and funding some of the improvements to the convention center and Conseco Fieldhouse, not Lucas Oil Stadium. That was a separate crazy deal with the state. There's a TIF district at the airport. There used to be a TIF district on the 96th Street Bridge between Allisonville Road and Keystone over White River. That's a TIF district. Over on Dr. Martin Luther King Street around Anwa is a TIF district. There's a TIF district for the Lilly plant on Kentucky Avenue when they moved Kentucky Avenue around so Lilly could build a big plant and they didn't want to move it. That's a TIF district down there. I think the old Naval Avionics place, to save it because we were going to lose that plant and lose hundreds of good-paying jobs. And Steve Goldsmith came up with a bright idea to have a TIF district that helped save those jobs. So a TIF district done right will create jobs, not for people in the suburbs, but for people here. It does provide development. And then after a certain amount of time, it's over with and the money comes back to our go. Oh, and I forgot schools. Schools as well. Anyway, that's what a TIF district is. 239-1310, 239-1310. Back to the phones and another anonymous. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine.
What's up?
I personally know because I lived in Martin's apartment. And the fire department right across the street, It is needed. I mean, it's like whoever the developers or whatever is just in for the money but not the people. Because when by me living there 4 years, they had to come literally, you know, across the street to us to either get us out of the elevator. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine, he used to live there, but they moved him across the street. He ended up getting burned up. You know what I'm saying? So this is what I'm saying. That fire department is needed. I mean, it ain't about money. It's about the people, you know, because that's the only fire department that we can depend on.
And you raise a good question. No, and those of you from Grow Mass Avenue, you bring that answer on Monday. Nobody has said if they do this deal on Mass Avenue, where would the fire station go?
That's another unanswered question.
Because they're not only with Barton as a high rise, all of those condos are 3, 4, 5, 6, some of them are 10 stories now. And, you know, Counselor Christine Scales was on this program 2 weeks ago about her very serious concern about getting rid of a ladder truck out on the north side of the city where there's high rises. Now we're talking about making it farther away for a ladder truck and those services to get to that. And Mass Avenue now is a very, there's 5 to 10,000 people in that area. It's much more densely populated. I like the idea, Vernon Brown, that you were talking about of a previous development where they were going to put the fire station underground, build the development over it, so when the fire station come out, you know, big door opens up, come out of the ramp, which would actually be cool. That'd be him.
And I can't tell you how many times they come across the street, they're faithful, helping us, and, you know, the elevators break down so much, and people, you know, smoke alarms and stuff, and there's smoke in the hallways and all that. That is really needed there for the people.
All right.
Thank you.
Good points. And those of you with Grow Mass Avenue, you know, riddle me that one. Answer that question for the listener. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's name. Let me go back. Vernon Brown. One of the other things the mayor said, and he told the Indianapolis Business Journal this week, that I don't know whether he did or his people, because he doesn't talk to the leadership of the city county council, but that his people told the leadership of the city county council that he was going to put in those 6 to 33% raises for his staff. You are a member of the leadership of the city county council. Did he talk to you?
Not only did he not talk to me, Amos, I spoke to President Lewis before I came to your show. He never informed President Lewis, Vice President Mahern, Trina DeBoe, who's a clerk at the council. So nobody in the council knew about this until somebody from the media informed us, and you did a good job of disclosing the raises to us. So we found out about the same time after you found out.
Could the mayor have meant that he talked to Councilor Councilor McQuillan, who is the leader of the Republicans on the council, the minority leader of the council? That is part of the leadership of the council. He gets to sit up front. What the mayor meant?
That's kind of funny because you talk about leadership. President Lewis is the leader of the city county council. Vice President Mahern is the vice president. When we were in the minority, the mayor never spoke to us then. He didn't speak to Joanne Sanders. So when he talked to leadership, he talked to Ryan Vaughn, the president of the council. So we expect him to get that same respect to President Lewis, and which he hadn't done.
But also mayors speak through their chiefs of staff. You know, in the practical sense, that also means the chief of staff did not tell you, the chief of staff did not tell the president of the council?
That's correct. We didn't find out about the raises till somebody leaked the information to us, and we started inquiring and asking questions about it.
239-1310. 239-1310's Anthony, whose name is back to the phones. And Chris, hi there.
Hey, Amos.
How are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Chris Bowen.
Okay.
Hey, I did have a few comments there. I think we can all agree that after 9/11, there is no reason we should be talking about cutting ladder trucks to downtown anywhere close. I mean, it would be a nightmare. I think just a year or two ago, we had some guys caught up that were cleaning windows over by the State House or whatever, and they were stuck up there for how long? I mean, we can't be cutting fire services. That should be the last thing we're talking about cutting. And then the other thing, should we ever be bringing in more additional TIFs or TIF districts when that kind of cuts the bottom line, while at the same time giving raises to the top, you know, 2 or 3% of your staff? I really don't agree with that, and so I just wanted to kind of hear your comments on that. And then the third thing I wanted to talk about, Frank Straub, today's his last day. It looks like in the state law, we can, the city county council can eliminate or decide not to fill that position, and I wanted to hear their comments on that. I'll go ahead and hang up. Thank you.
Let me take the second question, his last question first. That's a public safety director. Is that mandated by state law that we have one?
Amos, I've been doing some research in that because I was going to do a proposal to eliminate the office of the public safety director. We can eliminate the Department of Public Safety, but the director's position is in state statute
that
gives the mayor authority to hire a director. Right now, Frank Straub is gone, and there's going to be no interim public safety director. The police chief, the fire chief, animal control, weights and measures,
Homeland Security.
They're all going to report directly to the mayor. All those department heads are going to report directly to the mayor, as it should be in the first place, and not have the middleman or middlewoman of the public safety director's position. But so right now, Frank Straub is gone. There won't be another public safety director, so they make an official replacement. So all those agencies will report directly to the mayor.
If a public safety director is required under state law and they don't designate any, like the fire chief or the police as interim, would we be in violation of state law?
The mayor would be, not the council. Like I said, the council would like to do away with the position of public safety director and the Department of Public Safety, because all those people you mentioned are directors. They're head of the agencies. They're competent men and women who run those departments. They don't need a micromanager or a middleman. The mayor is in charge of public safety. Public safety is job number one, and he should take direct responsibility for those positions.
Okay, now here's a question. With Director Straub gone, there's a little bit of savings each day on that salary line, character one.
That's correct.
Can any of those dollars be moved from that salary line to maybe, you know, get some toilet paper and supplies out to the police stations for IMPD?
Well, actually, I mean, they're developing a grant management division between Department of Public Safety and the Office of Finance and Management, and the salary saved by getting rid of the director's vacancy. And you remember that the deputy director, three deputy directors that were in the Department of Public Safety, the savings from those positions are going to go into next year's budget to fund some of these positions. Now, they're asking for an additional appropriation of $78,000. You got to understand, out of a budget of $500 million in August, they don't have $78,000 extra dollars. So we have to do an additional appropriation.
The mayor has extra money. Why can't he transfer? Why can't he recommend a fiscal ordinance to the council to transfer that excess money from his budget into the needed public safety budget? That can be done.
We're going to do a proposal to transfer the $133,000 out of the general fund to DPS and to OFM to staff the grant writing positions, which are sorely needed because this administration has lost millions of dollars in grant opportunities by being incompetent. So we're going to fix that problem. It's going to cost us more money. But on the DPS side, they're going to absorb that cost next year based on the savings they have from eliminating some positions.
One of the things I've heard about this budget process, I understand the city has a master computer system, computers and servers and all this kind of stuff, and it's a separate agency. It's like the agency of the city's computers. And they take the cost of that agency and spread it out over all the departments of city county government. And I was having a conversation with one of the county agencies who told me that their cost for the city's computer services is going up $400,000 from this year's budget to next year's. Did we buy any new computers and softwares and servers and stuff? I thought computer stuff was getting cheaper, not more expensive.
Now, we bought a new program to do the budget, which doesn't work properly, and nobody can figure it out. But the ISA is the agency you're talking about. They spread the cost out among city agencies. There's no rhyme or reason. The same way with Corporation Council now. They're doing the same thing. I hire you as an attorney to work for Corporation Council. I pay you $53,000 a year. Mm-hmm. You work for Monroe Gray, who's in charge of animal control. Then I backbill Monroe Gray $200,000 for you to your services. I don't understand. So that's how they manipulated the budget this last year in 2012, and I think they plan to do the same thing in 2013 backbill.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. It's your money. We're talking about the budget palooza or budget apocalypse. Pick your Twitter hashtag, begins 7 o'clock Monday night, this coming Monday, City County Council live on Channel 16. Channel 16's ratings are getting ready to go up. And then the budget hearings with the different council committees will begin when, do you know?
Right after the budget's introduced.
Okay, and it'll probably be several days before members of the public will be able to see the budget, because I'm sure the mayor's office is not going to immediately put a detailed budget online.
It's not online yet, and we haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen it yet.
That's correct.
That's worse than Congress. I thought Republicans in Congress wanted a rule where members of Congress could see the budget. Isn't that what those Republicans always keep saying? Well, isn't this a Republican mayor?
That's what they keep trying.
239-1310, 239-1310. Also, when we come back, how much of the $500 million in monies that the city has generated for minority business went to African-American-owned businesses? I'll have those results and get the council members' reaction and even Chris's reaction to that. It's Afternoons with Amos after these.